sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rehm, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on December 31, 1989, entitled Surrender to Joy. The scripture readings are Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7, and Luke 1, verses 26 through 49. The texts for the sermon are Philippians 4, verse 4, and Luke 1, verse 46. Copyright, Grand Valley State University.
Beloved congregation, and John and Ethel Ann as well, I hope you really feel a part of us. I had that in my mind ever since I saw you sat down. No one will ever do it again, though, right? Well, I waited for a Sunday when Greg wasn't here so I could use a musical illustration. I wouldn't dare do it if he were here, but without him here, let me follow the clue of a preacher who really does have a great musical background and suggest to you that one of the great favorite Christmas carols that we sing begins in heaven and descends to earth, which is a beautiful image of exactly what Christmas is all about. The hymn, Joy to the World, the Lord Has Come, begins with a high D. Now, that's pretty good for me, you see. And it descends, Joy to the World, the Lord Has Come, a full octave. And it's sort of like coming all the way down the scale. And then, of course, in response, our praises leading back up again to that original high D. After the message, we will sing it in spite of the fact that Hark the Herald Angels is listed. So just disregard 163, turn to 161. We will sing Joy to the World, which begins in heaven in high D. That's why that carol's so hard for me to sing. I can't hardly get up there anymore. The vocal cords are shrinking and the girth is increasing, and it's more and more difficult to reach the heights of glory. But as we sing it, you'll see it an image of what Christmas is all about. It begins in heaven because it is God's act. And it touches earth. And then it lifts earth upward again to heaven. And that is what Christmas is all about. It is about God's act. And I invite you this morning to surrender to the joy that God has come to us, that God is with us, that God is for us, and that God will have God's way with us. Christmas is about God. It is about God who has come to us. And I suggest this morning that that is the only true and significant foundation for human joy. Now, we have just gone through an Advent season, and we are in a season of Christmastide in which there has been great cause for happiness, which I would distinguish from joy. Happiness is that pleasant emotion that is the consequence of everything going right. It happens once or twice in a decade. Everything just goes well, and happiness is the consequence, and happiness is wonderful. But it's different than joy. Joy is something deeper. It is rooted not in the external circumstances of our lives. It is something that flows spontaneously from within because of some truth that is untouched by the vicissitudes of our historical situation. Surrender to the joy because God has come to us. God is with us. God is for us, and God will have God's way with us. But in this season of the year, we have had good occasion for happiness, and we have seen signs that point to the foundation of a deeper joy. That is, that God is moving in the arena of our history. God has come to us, and God's Spirit moves across the face of the earth, and we have seen some shaking of the foundations. We have seen some wonderful signs. We have had our television screens filled with the images of people who have been tasting for the first time the precious gift of freedom, have sensed somewhat of the human dignity that is intrinsically the human person's when things are right. We've seen the tears that have flowed down the faces of some whose faces were leathery with age and crinkled like crepe paper, who for decades, perhaps, in their heart, nurtured the hope once again to be free and have tasted it. We have had good cause in this season of Advent and Christmas to rejoice. I have with me this morning a Christmas gift which I received. I hope it's still here. I invited people to examine it after the first service, and it just may be it's not here any longer. But then it'll be your loss and mine as well. This is a box which has in it a beautiful velvet, sort of royal blue or purple perhaps. Not only am I venturing into the area of music, but color this morning. I'm really reckless. This is the kind of little bag that you would expect something very precious to be in, like crown royal or a royal crown or some precious stone, some ruby or diamond perhaps. And indeed, there is a precious stone. A precious stone. There it is, still here. Well, you perhaps are disappointed because even from a distance you can perhaps see that it is drab and gray. It is just a fragment of concrete. But it is a precious stone. For it is a chip of the Berlin Wall. A precious stone indeed, for it is symbolic of one of the beautiful reconciliations in our world today, which is a sign, only a sign, but it is a sign of that which God ultimately intends when there will be shalom covering the whole earth, a precious stone. Now, whatever you think about the entrepreneurial skills and insights of whoever went over there with a front-end loader and scooped up a bunch of concrete, I want you to know, however, that this is authentic because in the box there is a map of the wall. Not exactly that geographical location from which this fragment came, but nonetheless, the wall, and this is a declaration of origin. It is a greatly reduced certificate that with a magnifying glass one can read and can learn all about the authenticity of this stone. And although I would have preferred a piece that had just a bit of graffiti on it, understanding Nancy's limited resources, I understand that the best she could do was to get a piece out of the middle. Well, there's good cause this season for rejoicing, for finding joy in the events of history. But as I reflect on that, I recognize that history, the external events of our lives and the corporate story of the human family, is no solid foundation for real joy History is fickle. And the equanimity and the tranquility of these days, even punctuated with its tragedy and violence, is an interlude, is a moment for which we pray and which we hope will be prolonged, but we do know that it can be so different within 24 hours, or a week, or a month. Time magazine nominates Mikhail Gorbachev as the person of the year, and deservedly so. But we would not have to stretch our imaginations too hard to imagine that there could be reactionary forces within the Soviet Union that would desire the perpetuation of their own privilege and position, and therefore rise up and overthrow him in a moment, and rev up once again the guns, and get the tanks moving, and change the whole picture once again, for there are still plenty of tanks and guns and planes and bombs to make this world a field of devastation. We will rejoice in the things that are happening, but we will recognize that the events of history are no solid foundation for peace and joy, for that inner tranquility. The events of history provide no lasting resting place for the soul. About 9 or 10 years ago, Lech Walesa was declared the person of the year by Time magazine. And in an interview, he was quoted as saying, "I know that I exist and that people will come after me. I know another thing. I know that I will lose today and tomorrow will be a victory. I know that I will succeed today and fail tomorrow. I know that Christ, as human, was crucified. But as God, he won." And while I might question the separation of the humanity and the divinity of Jesus, I would say that this electrician, this Christian person, has understood something very profound. And that is, while one might savor the moment of triumph, one must savor it always with a recognition that victory and triumph in our human experience is a fragile item, that history and life are fickle, that we live a perilous existence, that we can well rejoice when things are well, but we might well know that tomorrow it can be totally different. Joy must be rooted and grounded in something beyond the vicissitudes of history, with its ups and downs, its light and shadow, its valleys and its peaks, its triumphs and its defeats. The apostle said, "Rejoice." And again I say, rejoice. And he said that at the far end of the life of Jesus. He said that after the event that was beyond our history, the event of resurrection. If you take just the life of Jesus from birth to death, there you have a good commentary on the nature of human life and existence. Jesus, knowing a bit of popularity in the beginning, taking upon himself hostility and violence in the end, he who trusted God ended in the darkness crying, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Life is like that. For some more, for some less. but potentially for us all. No, even in the historical existence of Jesus, there is no cause for us to take heart. It is only in what God did prior and after. For the angel came to a young woman named Mary and said to her, "You found favor with God. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Almighty will overshadow you, and that thing that will be conceived of you will be holy. For it was God who came to us at Christmas." Jesus is the story of God's action, of God coming to us. It is a movement from heaven to earth. And when another Mary made her way to the tomb in order to embalm that body, there was an angel standing there who said, "The one that you seek is not here, he is risen." Because when we had done our worst within the framework of the historical experience of Jesus, God intervened yet again. God raised him from the dead. And it was on that basis that the Apostle Paul could say, "Rejoice." And again I say, rejoice. Don't worry about anything. Sure, Paul. Don't worry about anything. With death and taxes and all of the struggle for survival, typical pulpit talk. Don't worry about anything. But the apostle said, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that is beyond human understanding will put a guard on your heart in Christ Jesus. The possibility offered in the gospel is for a peace that transcends the circumstances of our lives. That's not to play fast and loose with the difficulties, the pain, the tragedy, griefs that we bear. It is only to say that the message of Christmas is the offer of a joy that is deeper than anything this world can touch. The Christian experience pointed to by the apostle was an experience that was known by a young woman named Mary, who had her questions and her fears and her doubts as any normal person would have, who raised the question, "How can this be?" And receiving the answer that it would be of God, said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word." And when she greeted Elizabeth, this old woman, great with child, said the child in her womb leaped for joy. And when Elizabeth confirmed that the word of God accepted and received by Mary indeed was coming to fruition, Mary spontaneously broke out into song and said, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Luke presents Mary as a model of the believer who doesn't understand, but who surrenders to the joy, who gives herself, trusting the Word of God and finding the consequence thereof, a joy that nothing in this world can touch. So this morning, the reality of Christmas is that God has come to us. And that is the only sure foundation for joy. We chase it in a thousand other places. Our families. But we can lose them. Our professions. But they can go down the tubes. Our status in the community. Our financial security. Our long-range planning for retirement? Or you make your list. This morning at the top of a blank page, I wrote the question, what is the source of my joy? I give you the question. Things that crowded into my head were all of the things that are of such central concern to me, and none of them passed muster as an adequate foundation for joy. Finally, I had to say, strip off everything. Take it all away. And I will rejoice in God my Savior, who has come to me. And let me be, and given me being, and will embrace me, come what may. To that joy, I surrender. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let her receive.